to Daily Pulse, where we keep your finger on the pulse of the latest breaking news and the news they're keeping from you. A quick reminder to head on over to Rumble to watch our full show. If you're not subscribed to our channel yet, do so right now to catch our no-holds-barred reporting brought to you by The Vigilant Fox and Z Media. Tonight, American citizens are starting to be visited at home by law enforcement for their speech. Palantir has built what appears to be a pre-crime app, and car manufacturers turning off your vehicles remotely in the middle of winter. Let's get into the Daily Pulse. We have been warning for a very long time on this broadcast that we see similarities between the excuses that have been used in other countries across the West for quote-unquote hate speech laws are starting to get introduced into the United States. And of course, the First Amendment exists here, whereas it doesn't in those nations, but the language is similar. And of course, we saw this concept introduced right after the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk, who was vehemently against the idea of hate speech and said it does not exist, and he was right. We saw Pam Bondi and even President Trump float the idea that hate speech laws may be needed in the US. Well, the Miami Beach Mayor's Office is now flagging citizens' Facebook posts and sending police to their doors to intimidate them for criticism of the mayor. Village Crazy Lady says, "This video is absolutely outrageous, and we think once you see it, you'll agree." Have a look.
Picture to make sure it's you. We're not sure.
Okay.
Is that the Facebook? Is that your account?
I refuse to answer questions without my lawyer present, so I really don't know how to answer that question either.
Well, you're not going to jail.
This is freedom of speech. This is America, right? And veteran.
All right. And I agree with you 100%. Okay. All we're right. Just trying to see if it's you, because if we're not talking to the right person, we want to go see who the right person is.
Okay, how can I help you?
So pretty much it's just a statement that was made as far as,
It says the guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater for showing a movie that hurt his feelings and refuses to stand up for the LGBTQ community in any way. Even leaves the room when they vote and on related matters. Wants you to know that you're all welcome. Clown face, clown face, clown face. 3 days ago.
Do you know if it was you?
I'm not going to answer whether that's me or not.
Okay.
The concerning part, and not concerning for the person who's posting it, well, we're just trying to prevent somebody else getting agitated or agreeing with the statement. We're not saying it's true or not.
Understood.
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about. And we wanted to get your side of it. Was you that posted that? I would think to refrain from posting things like that, because that could get something inside.
I appreciate your concern. I appreciate you coming out here.
Okay.
That's it?
That is it. Okay. I'm going to maintain my my amendment rights to not answer the question about whether that's right. I hope
thank
that's
you
understandable.
All right. We appreciate it.
Thank you as well. You as well. Thank you. Take care.
So, from our understanding, this relates to Miami Beach Mayor Stephen Miner. Also, from our understanding, he has not called for harm explicitly for certain groups, as the post apparently alleges. But to be completely honest with you, none of that detail should matter. He has reportedly defended this police follow-up on social media comments as, quote-unquote, safety assessments. Other than explicitly calling for violence, a person's opinions are protected by the First Amendment, even if they're wrong. If you make an accusation against someone online and they disagree or see it as defamatory, there are legal routes that can be taken in response to that. Posting commentary online in America should never result in a knock on the door from law enforcement. Now, whilst this specific situation might be slightly nuanced due to what the poster may or may not have said or may not have implied, the issue here is greater than that. What we are seeing is this slow creep towards policing of people's speech, as we see in the UK, Canada, Australia, all over the West. This shouldn't happen in America, but it is starting to. Here's another example out of Texas, of all places. Now, we'll just tell you that this video is actually not new, but it's resurfaced now because of what we just saw in Florida. Take a look.
Try that again.
We're here because of the comments you made online about the Jewish community.
So what? I have a freedom of speech, dude.
Yeah, no, we get that. We get that. We got to make sure that you're not.
Do you have a warrant?
No, that's why we're here.
Okay, you see that sign? Yeah. So that says no soliciting. What you're doing is basically soliciting. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It means you're not welcomed here.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Stay off the lawn, please.
Bye. Stay off the lawn, please. A perfect response to this UK-style policing of speech. The administration has, on multiple occasions, expressed their strong support of free speech. JD Vance is one of those people who has repeatedly criticised the EU, for example, for cracking down on opinions. Here is JD Vance in his own words just last year.
Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat. To many of us on the other side of the Atlantic, it looks more and more like old entrenched interests hiding behind ugly Soviet-era words like misinformation and disinformation, who simply don't like the idea that somebody with an alternative viewpoint might express a different opinion or, God forbid, vote a different way or, even worse, win an election.
Here is another portion of a clip from the same conference. Take a listen.
So I come here today not just with an observation, but with an offer. And just as the Biden administration seemed desperate to silence people for speaking their minds, so the Trump administration will do precisely the opposite, and I hope that we can work together on that. In Washington, there is a new sheriff in town, and under Donald Trump's leadership, we may disagree with your views, but we will fight to defend your right to offer it in the public square, agree or disagree.
So those are just a couple of countless examples of people within the administration promising to vehemently defend your right to speak no matter how much you may agree or disagree. Has anyone inside the administration spoken up about citizens now getting door-knocked by authorities and questioned about their speech or said that they'll investigate these examples? This is supposed to be the free speech admin, right? We haven't heard anything, but we'll be sure to let you know if they decide to speak up for the First Amendment. What is important to understand is the pattern, and we can learn this from countries like the UK, where over 12,000 arrests happened just last year for speech. Where you see the authorities turn up to discuss how someone's post may have offended someone, or may cause disharmony amongst different nationalities or immigrants, legal or illegal, or may cause people to be frustrated with a government policy, God forbid. It starts out like what we just saw in Miami, Florida, and in Texas. Now, whilst we see a lot of this so-called hate speech monitoring surrounding issues taken with opinions on conflicts in the Middle East or issues surrounding Europe, this speech enforcement is being done under the guise of these issues, which will rapidly extend to simply speech the government doesn't like. For example, criticism of policy, foreign or domestic. And how do we know this? Because we've seen that pattern time and time again. And governments love to push the boundaries of control over their citizens, regardless of who's in power. We saw this clearly worldwide during COVID from almost every government in lockstep. And we're seeing the same approach with hate speech now. There is a lockstep approach here. It's important to understand that both the left and right are doing it. These examples we showed you today are two red states. Hate speech laws are always wrapped up in excuses like, we have to stop Islamophobia, we've got to stop vaccine hesitancy, homophobia, anti-Semitism, election denial, transgenocide, hatred, anything that you can think of, really. The bottom line is that hate speech does not exist. It is a made-up term, meaning simply speech another person does not like, and the very ethos of America is speaking words that other people don't like. It's why the whole world looks up to America, especially now when they are watching their citizens imprisoned for opinions in other countries. When law enforcement starts turning up to people's doors for their opinions in this country, that's not a good sign. The FBI turning up to a mother's home for expressing her disdain at a school board meeting over the fact that her child was being sexualized in school, that was wrong. The FBI should not have been at her door. Law enforcement turning up at your door for expressing your opinions on a foreign conflict should not be happening either. We've seen this made-up term of hate speech quickly turn into mere criticism of a particular cause, whatever that may be. This pattern needs to be addressed immediately and cannot become the norm in America. The coordinated worldwide rollout of digital ID is happening before our eyes. Scammers are now superpowered with AI and are very dangerous. The Genius Act was passed and the promised provisions to prevent stablecoins from becoming CBDCs never happened. While governments claim they're protecting their citizens, the surveillance and digital control grid is growing and people feel boxed in. CBDCs, digital IDs, and social credit systems can only exist because of the in-depth technological surveillance state that is in place. That means if we take steps to protect ourselves from that surveillance state right now, they can't build it. That's right, there is actually a way to stop this. Our friends at Privacy Academy are hosting a free webinar on Wednesday, January 28th at 7 p.m. Central to do just that. Educate the people on how we, the people, can protect ourselves and throw a serious spanner into their matrix. Learn how to exit the surveillance state, protect your data, assets, and freedom itself from hackers, scammers, thieves, big tech, and big brother for free by registering at privacyacademy.com/pulse. That's privacyacademy.com/pulse. Many people have been expressing their concerns with the growing integration of the federal government and Palantir. Last year, we saw how many didn't seem interested in voting for Doge cuts, and Doge itself was essentially cut off at the knees after a lot of sensational headlines about what fraud was uncovered, with zero accountability for those guilty of the fraud, of course. But not before Palantir came in through the back to link multiple federal systems together, like the HHS, IRS, and more. Well, we warned of this back then, and now it's official, and it's growing. Now, it's growing under an agenda that most Americans support, an important task of getting illegals out of the country, something we've stated before, we personally support, of course. But the problem here, as with any government agenda, is how this beast may be used in the future against dissidents. Let us explain. A 404 media investigation reports elite. The Palantir app ICE uses to find neighborhoods to raid. Internal ICE material and testimony from an official obtained by 404 Media provides the clearest link yet between the technological infrastructure Palantir is building for ICE and the agency's activities on the ground. It says Palantir is working on a tool for immigration and customs enforcement that populates a map with potential deportation targets, brings up a dossier on each person, and provides a, quote, confidence score. Remember that term. On the person's current address, 404 Media has learned. ICE is using it to find locations where lots of people it might detain could be based. The findings, based on internal ICE material obtained by 404 Media, public procurement records, and recent sworn testimony from an ICE official, show the clearest link yet between the technological infrastructure Palantir is building for ICE and the agency's activities on the ground. The tool receives people's addresses from the Department of Health and Human Services, among a range of other sources, according to the material. In short, through an integration between HHS and potentially other agencies and Palantir, a private company, the government is able to locate illegals more effectively after Palantir issued a, quote, confidence score of where they may be. The level of advancement that this technology holds is impressive. This is not merely identifying an individual or a group of illegals. It's all the way down to their address, but also the likelihood of them being at that particular address at any given time. So that's great, right? This actually seems to be helping ICE to utilize their time and resources more effectively. But what about the master database that Palantir has created on every American, predominantly law-abiding, tax-paying citizens? Couple this with what we spoke about in our previous segment of law enforcement now starting to turn up to American citizens' homes for their speech online, you see the problem. Kim Iverson does a good job of breaking this down. Take a listen.
They are watching us. They are admitting they're watching us. They're building these databases to watch us, and many people are cheering it on. Don't be naive. Don't say this is the only way to crack down on illegal immigration. That is not true. That is a lie. Just like they fed the lie to all of these people that everybody needed a COVID-vax passport in order to live life because that was going to keep you safe. It's happening. Of course, right now the excuse is they're using it on illegals in order to get them out of the country. And of course, this would never be used against America. Citizens, or would it?
We're going to create a database. Those people that are arrested for interference, impediment, assault, we're going to make them famous.
One question that many have had is, why doesn't ICE have body cams? Why are they using cell phones all the time and recording people? Maybe they aren't recording, but they're scanning faces instead. Read this caption under Getty. A Border Patrol agent scans the face of a driver as they stop and question him in the streets during an immigration enforcement operation. So they're scanning this person's face. Now you might say, well, they're only scanning the illegals. How do they know who's an illegal before they scan them? So when you see all of these ICE agents going around with their cell phones, they might be recording in order to make sure that they can shake you down later, but they're also maybe scanning faces. I mean, that's clearly what they are doing in some of the cases, at least. But take a look at this. Palantir is working on a tool for immigration and customs enforcement that populates a map with potential deportation targets, brings up a dossier on each person, and provides a confidence score on the person's current address. And if they can compile the database on everybody, then they can identify the people they do not have data on. That is how they would identify an illegal. Think about that. How else would they identify an illegal? They don't have documentation. So the only way that they can identify an illegal is by, identifying the rest of us. And that's exactly what has gone on. Trump taps Palantir to compile data on Americans. The push has put a key Palantir product called Foundry into at least 4 federal agencies, including, the Department of Homeland Security. And wait a minute, what? Health and Human Services Department? Oh, you want to give us COVID vaccine passports and track us and make sure that we've taken the jab 4 times like we're supposed to. How did deportations happen prior to this? Because they did. So we don't need this. We can do things another way. We don't need to spy on every American and, worse off, develop the very databases that will be used against us by a different administration because Trump will not be president forever. I mean, or maybe he will be.
And have you heard of Flock? Perhaps we will do a more detailed segment on this, or perhaps even a special. If you want to see that, let us know in the comments below and we will get right to it. But here is a representative of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers giving us a breakdown of what's happening with Palantir's Flock and American citizens. Take a listen.
How many people have seen a police program that's being used called Palantir? It is in your police officer's car, on your police officer's computer. So while you've got the person pulled over, you can start to drill down on this person. It's not just like a DMV photo and an NCIC anymore. You can see all their bank accounts, the balance in their bank accounts, the last times they declared cash somewhere. You can see every time they hit a Flock camera anywhere in the country. Flock is a giant national traffic monitoring system that is basically everywhere now. And they're taking photographs at every intersection all day. And it's using AI to like read license plates and put identities of people, places. And it's just keeping all that data, like all of it. That's what they've got in their car right now. And we're not getting that in discovery. We're not able to confront it. And we're not able to use it as Brady evidence. We've got Fourth Amendment issues galore, obviously. I didn't realize how prevalent it was. There has never been a surveillance program in the history of the United States that was not used brutally and in a corrupt fashion. And now we have the biggest surveillance system that we've ever had.
So what we're seeing here is an increasing technological advancement, which will essentially be further intrusive on your privacy under the guise of stopping illegal immigration. Kind of reminds you of Keir Starmer telling UK citizens they need to get a digital ID so that their government can better track illegals trying to work. Problem, reaction, solution, a tactic as old as time. Perhaps the current administration doesn't have plans to use this against the American people. We're not suggesting that. But what we are saying is that governments have a history of doing just that. If it isn't this one, it may be the next one or the one after that. Eventually, surveillance technologies always end up being used on the people. It's just a fact. We only have to look to the Patriot Act as an example. Why hasn't that been repealed, by the way? Are you protected in a world where threats of EMPs, solar flares, 5G, and all types of EMF are interfering with our very existence? Escape the grid with Escape Zone, bringing you the highest quality Faraday technology for ultimate preparedness. Choose when and where your devices are detectable. Faraday bags protect you from EMPs, car theft, card and device skimming, identity theft, tracking, Bluetooth, and GPS. Choose from premium mobile Faraday bags, crossbody bags, laptop bags, and even women's handbags, or opt for the optimum protection with a ballistic backpack, combining cutting-edge Faraday technology with a ballistic 3A Kevlar for the ultimate protection and preparedness. Now you can also protect from EMF with their top-notch EMF beanies and blankets, shielding you from some of the most harmful frequencies in our environment. Whatever your needs are, Escape Zone has you covered, and their range is perfect for personal use, family use, or even as a gift for someone you truly care about. Visit escapezone.com/pulse and protect you and your loved ones today. That's escapezone.com/pulse. As the self-proclaimed elites descend into Davos yet again to discuss how we will own nothing and be happy, we shall become a civilization of renters, renting homes, renting belongings, renting cars, and even renting the features on cars such as heating and air conditioning, multimedia interfaces, and the like. Germany has forced Lexus to deactivate the remote start features on vehicles remotely in the middle of winter. A feature that Germans use to warm up their cars ahead of time so they can save time, get to work on time, be warm when they get into their cars because it's below freezing outside. You know, things you should be able to do when you work hard enough to decide what to do with your own money and your own belongings. This is from Zero Hedge. Germany forces Lexus to deactivate remote start with over-the-air update. Germany, whose chancellor just admitted they made a, quote, serious strategic mistake chasing green unicorns when they shut down their nuclear plants, imagine, has just forced Lexus to deactivate the remote start feature, which pre-warms an owner's car so they don't freeze their nethers off the first thing in the morning in the winter. Toyota spokesman Ralph Muller confirmed the measure, telling Bild that the preheating feature, which was previously free via My Toyota or Lexus Link Plus apps, is now deactivated on all combustion engine vehicles across the country as legislators consider remote engine warm-up unnecessary running that creates avoidable exhaust pollution. What's more is that Toyota has used remote access to disable the function to comply with the order, protecting owners from potential penalties by German authoritarian regulatory enforcers. The feature is still available on pure EVs and plug-in hybrids, which allows for cabin heating without starting the combustion engine. And let me just add here that this is a conditioning tool towards electric vehicles as well. I mean, it's obviously multifaceted, but what makes us think that when they just say, well, now we need to conserve energy, or we just don't want you to start your car ahead of time, and it's much easier to do this with an electric vehicle, actually. What makes us think that it won't go to that? Because we've already seen examples, like in Australia during the middle of summer, they turned off a bunch of people's air conditioners because it was using too much energy. I mean, this is what is going to keep happening as these people chase more and more control of our resources, resources that we've worked our whole lives to pay for, infrastructure that we've worked our whole lives to pay for, and they are just unilaterally deciding, yes, you can't have power at this current point in time. That's what smart meters are for. And so while they're saying that, okay, it's still available to electric vehicle owners, well, the problem with an electric vehicle is the whole thing can be turned off remotely, everyone. And it can happen eventually that it can be turned off because you said something the government doesn't like online. That is a very real possibility here. There's the headline, help, my car's heating has been turned off. A total of over 100,000 car owners were affected, reportedly. As Gadget Review notes further, car idling bans stem from Germany's broader assault on fossil fuel heating systems. This crackdown connects to Germany's Building Energy Act, requiring 65% renewable energy in new heating systems by 2024. The law aims to phase out gas and oil heating by 2045, but critics highlight massive costs and slow adoption rates. Gas still heats 56% of Germany's 43 million apartments. Coalition plans to reform the controversial heating law by February 2026 promise more flexibility and technology openness. But car owners are collateral damage in this green transition where authorities apparently can't distinguish between heating a building and de-icing a windshield. Your luxury car just became the latest battlefield in Europe's climate wars, where bureaucrats decide which buttons work in your own vehicle. The real question isn't whether remote start causes pollution, it's whether you still own the features you bought, and that is the point. And once again, we were right. Z Media reported on this some 3 years ago now about car manufacturers renting features on their cars, and we warned eventually they would have control over these features and generally the car in its entirety. Well, here we are now, governments mandating car manufacturers to shut down your heating or any feature that they see fit due to climate change. That's the excuse today, it'll be another excuse tomorrow. It's only a matter of time before your smart fridge is their next target. Oh, is your food that you spent a large portion of your paycheck on going to spoil? Too bad, so sad. We here at the New World Order HQ have determined through your Palantir-issued social credit score that you have too much meat in that fridge. You don't need any more heating, food, maybe even water. Our AI bot will let you know if you're eligible for reinstatement of basic human needs next month. And if you think that sounds preposterous, we would say that many thought that 3 years ago when we first warned these things were coming too. The solution? One thing that people can do is stop buying smart appliances, vehemently oppose smart technologies linked to your personal resource monitoring, like smart meters for electricity, for example. Know that if you buy an electric vehicle or vehicles with features managed by the auto companies, that they can be switched off from afar with basically no recourse. And if more people do this, the markets will sort themselves out. It'll force these companies to push back on government madness, and maybe for once in their lives, mega corporations can start doing the bidding of the people and not the machine once they feel that sweet sting in their wallets. The digital ID financial nightmare isn't coming someday, it's already here. Governments and major tech companies are racing to tie your identity, your money, and your access to everyday life into one centralized digital profile. Apple has already rolled out digital ID at hundreds of TSA checkpoints. Europe and the UK are pushing national digital ID systems tied to work, travel, and government services. And once a single digital identity becomes the gateway to your bank account, your job, or your ability to move freely, compliance stops being optional. History tells us exactly where this leads. When access to money becomes programmable, it can be restricted, delayed, or shut off entirely based on behavior. We saw exactly that during the trucker protests in Canada. That's why Genesis Gold Group created the free Digital ID Resistance Wealth Guide. It breaks down the real risks of digital ID and shows how physical gold and silver allow you to keep part of your wealth outside the system beyond surveillance, freezes, or permissions. Remember, the digital dollars in your bank account can be restricted with just the flip of a switch. Physical metals can't. So get your free Digital ID Resistance Wealth Guide right now at goldandfreedom.com. That's goldandfreedom.com before digital ID becomes the default and your options disappear. Visit goldandfreedom.com today. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We want to remind you to subscribe to our Rumble channel if you have not already. Rumble is pretty much the last remaining fully supportive of free speech platform that we have been broadcasting on for that reason. They've been very supportive of our work and we're very grateful to them for continuing to support free speech. If you haven't made an account yet, make one, like the video, comment, give us your thoughts in the comments. We want to remind everyone that we are fully independent and the best way to support true independent journalism is by supporting our sponsors who also value our independent reporting. Their links are in the description below, and we've chosen to partner with people who actually have our shared vision for the future. They love freedom. They believe in what you and we believe. So support them by visiting their links below. We will see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Good night.